Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the Feast of St. Thomas, and in this year, in this season of growing in our faith, what a wonderful feast to celebrate. And if you have difficulty believing in God, believing in the gospel, believing in His Word, if you have difficulty doing that, ask St. Thomas to intercede for you. He's the one, we all know the story, he's the one who said when he was not there, when the apostles first saw Christ after he was raised from the dead, they saw him and they knew and they believed, but Thomas was not with them. And it says something about staying with the community, whatever it is, and not going off on your own. But Thomas went off on his own. And when the apostles tell him, he says, well, I will not believe unless I can put my finger into the wounds in his hands and I can touch the wound in his side. I will not believe. And as we all know, a week later, the Lord appeared to them and he said, Thomas, come here. Here are my hands. Put your fingers in and see the wounds and be not unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas is the one who gave that incredible declaration of faith, my Lord and my God. Those of us who are dealing with doubts and confusion, or we've actually turned away from God, away from faith, ask St. Thomas to guide you on your way. He will. He is in the gospel for a particular reason. He's in the gospels because God knows how easy it is for us to lose faith. God knows that we who are in a certain way so harnessed just to what our senses tell us, that we don't see that there is a world far, far, far infinitely bigger than the world we see. And we make all our judgments as though we were cooped up in one room all of our lives, when there isn't just one room, there's a mansion, and that mansion is part of millions of mansions, infinite numbers of mansions. We don't have any real sense of reality, brothers and sisters. Only faith can give that to us. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, faith is confident assurance concerning what we hope for and conviction about the things we do not see. Confident assurance concerning what we hope for. What do we hope for? We hope for everlasting life. We hope for a life that is beyond. That's not wishful thinking. It's the virtue of hope. Hope takes God's word and believes it, even though it has not seen its fulfillment. It receives God's word and believes it. I live in hope. Faith is confident assurance concerning what we hope for and conviction about the things we do not see. God wants you to have the gift of faith. He gave it to you in your baptism like a seed. We have to water it and help it to grow. Ask St. Thomas to pray for you. But think about that, how much we determine reality by what we see and touch and taste and smell. Think about that. And what we hear as well. Think about that. That's what we base reality on, when that is only one piece of reality. As I mentioned a moment ago, it's like one room of an infinitely large mansion or many mansions. And we're taking our base of reality on simply those things that are right within our sphere, right within our scope. That's only one piece, brothers and sisters. You want to have faith that comes from God, faith to believe that what God promised is true, and that I can build my life on that promise, and I will not be disappointed. That there is everlasting life for those who will follow him, believe in his word, accept him as Lord and Savior. There is eternal life. How do you live? The first reading for today is taken from Paul to the Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Brothers and sisters, you are no longer strangers and sojourners. You are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. Through him, the whole structure is held together, the whole body of Christ, of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, is held together. It's held together by Christ. Through him, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. God, brothers and sisters, through baptism, desires to dwell in you, to make his home in you. And as we look for other people of like mind, of belief, of faith, of hope, we join ourselves with them, and thus the body of Christ, the true and living body of Christ, is built. The body of Christ is not the church, not the structure of the church, not the church building. The body of Christ is people joined together in faith and hope that God is worthy of our trust, that his word is true, that he will not disappoint. What's your level of faith? There's great graces being poured out in this year of faith. Wrestle with the questions. Psalm 117, go out to all the world and tell the good news. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples. For steadfast is his kindness toward us. And the fidelity of the Lord endures forever. The Lord is faithful to us, and in him and by his grace, we can become faithful to him and faithful to one another. That's how the body of Christ is built. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. I wonder why he was not with them. Maybe it was just some practical reason, but I wonder if it wasn't discouragement and fear and anger, frustration. Here I put all my trust in this Jesus, and now he's dead. He said that we would have everlasting life, and he's dead. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, but he's dead. Who is this God? And I'm only supposing here, but I wonder if Thomas was not with them because he was too discouraged or depressed. See, that can be. I'm not saying that depression is from the devil, but I am saying that Satan can use, when we're mightily discouraged or depressed, he can use it to make us think of the worst possible things that could happen. Some depression, I understand, it's chemical. There's emotions involved here. It's not, you don't have to feel like, oh my gosh, now I've got Satan on top of me because I'm depressed. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that Satan can work with our own weaknesses, our own chemical imbalances. He can work with them to discourage us and to make us think less and less of ourselves, to feel helpless and hopeless. That, when we get to that, that's part of a work of the enemy. And I wonder if Thomas wasn't experiencing that. I wonder if he was away. We don't know. And I don't want to speculate too much, but I want you to look at these words in the gospel and ask yourself some of those questions, because it can help you to see yourself in light. Where would you be if you were one of the apostles and everything horrendous that happened to Jesus happened? Would you have faith? Where would you be? Remember, these are gathered together because they were afraid. They were afraid they were going to be attacked. They were afraid they were going to be destroyed. There were all these rumors about people had seen Jesus, but they were uncertain. Some of them had not yet seen him. It was a time of great turmoil, but they stayed together, except for Thomas. Ask yourself sometimes when you're discouraged or upset, the effect is often that you isolate yourself, you separate yourself. That's just about the worst thing to do. Even though it feels like, well, I shouldn't inflict myself on anybody else. And I understand sometimes for a few hours or a day even, you just say, I think I better stay to myself until I get through this. I don't want to inflict on someone else my own anger or bitterness or whatever it may be. But I'm talking about a posture, a way of living that you keep separating yourself from others. You want to get yourself back in to the body of Christ, into the heart of the body of Christ, and there you will find him. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." Can you imagine? Here's a very discouraged, depressed Thomas, and they say, "We have seen the Lord." And you might want to think, "Oh, I don't want to be here." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." In other words, I need proof. His faith was very weak. That proof is not faith. That proof is just gives you reason to believe. But faith is to believe without seeing. Thomas wasn't there yet. And he's very much like a lot of us. Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. So perhaps they persuaded him to spend time with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked. And he stood in their midst, and he said, "Peace be with you." I can't imagine what that moment would have been like. And then he said to Thomas, the very things that Thomas said he wouldn't believe unless he could do. And Jesus now repeats his words and gives him the opportunity. "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Bring your hand and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Declaration of faith. And Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." May you and I, brothers and sisters, know the blessing of God of those who have not seen but believe. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.